Well, if you don't know, we started our book study this week on Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And so for the next 4 weeks, my talks will really be about the ideas that he is presenting in the chapters that we are reading, along with how that overlaps with Science of Mind or the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so if you're not taking the class, I invite you to read along with us if you would like to. And so this week we're actually talking about chapter one. And so that first law in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws for Success, the first law of success in any area of your life, whether you're talking about having a successful relationship or having peace of mind or having the perfect job, whatever success in any area of your life, harmony and peace and balance and order and all of those things, begins with the law of pure potentiality. And so in his book, Deepak Chopra says this. The first spiritual law of success is the law of pure potentiality. This law is based on the fact that we are, in our essential nature, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is pure potentiality. It is the field of all possibilities and infinite creativity. And so he's saying that we live in this energetic field of pure potentiality, of infinite potential. We live in that, and that means, therefore, that everything that we could ever desire to have in our lives already exists as unformed substance. It already exists in that realm of the unformed, that invisible realm. And so let me give you an example. So one of the things that that might look like is long before we discovered and harnessed electricity and discovered how to harness it and use it in our homes, electricity already existed in that field of pure potentiality. Not just did electricity exist, but how to use it and how to harness it and how to make it into the things we use also existed in that field. That means then that the computer has always existed in that field of pure potentiality. So has genetic engineering. So does peace on earth and how to create peace on earth. All of those things exist in that field. They have just yet to be discovered until they're invented. They've yet to be downloaded, or nobody has tapped into that field of pure potentiality to realize that thing yet. And so that field that he calls pure potentiality is the thing that Ernest Holmes calls mind, the mind of God, that we live in that mind and use that mind. We call that the absolute. And so for those of you who are students, you remember the teaching symbol, the round one that has three sections? We're talking about the top of that, the absolute. Everything exists in that field. In quantum physics, they call that waves of possibility. And so in quantum physics, what they say is everything exists simultaneously as waves of possibility until someone notices, until someone chooses. And then that wave of possibility collapses into a point of actuality. So it exists until we choose it, acknowledge it, use it. And so one of the core concepts of the Science of Mind says, all good is eternally available and ready to flow into human experience. So this is what he's talking about. All good is already available. That means everything is available all the time in potential, not in actuality, but in potential in that invisible realm. And then so if everything is already available to us, how do we access that? How do we bring it into our lives? How do we bring the specific good into our lives that we desire to have? Because I know every single one of us in this room, we want to create the life of our desires. We want to create the life of our heart longing. And so the second part of that core concept says, we activate this flow by means of prayer or spiritual mind treatment. And so what that really means is we activate those things or download them or bring them into our experience by recognizing and knowing that they are already present, by recognizing and knowing that we are already one with them because we are of that same essence. That's what spiritual mind treatment does, is it takes you to that knowing. And so, like a fish that lives in the water, we live in that infinite potentiality. We live in that mind, in that infinite one, in that sea of possibility. But the thing is, we must recognize it first in order to access it, in order to download it. We must recognize that we are one with even the thing that we desire. So if you're wanting to have a love relationship in your life, you recognize that you're already one with love. You want to have peace in the world, you recognize peace already exists within you, because as we recognize it, that's how we access it and make it grow and make it real. So we realize and recognize and know that we live in that absolute, that it is our essence. That's the essence of our spirit. It's the essence that we are made of, just like a drop of water in the ocean isn't the entire ocean, but it is made of the same substance as the entire ocean. That field of potentiality exists within us in that same way. So that means we are already one with love. We are already one with peace. We are already one with power and wholeness and order and harmony and beauty and good. It's already part of who we are. Because we're made of that same energy. We're made of that same substance. We are of that same essence as that infinite one that we call God. That infinite field of pure potentiality is our essence and the essence of our life. In Hinduism, they say Atman is Brahman and Brahman is Atman. The divine is what we are, and we are it, that field of potentiality. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. There is no difference, just in size, but not in essence. And so the second part of that law of pure potentiality in Deepak Chopra's books, he says, when we realize that our true self is one of pure potentiality, we align with the power that manifests everything in the universe. That's the key. When we realize it, when we know it, when we really know it, not just when we think it, but when we really get it. And so that's what I'm talking about today, is that law of pure potentiality and what it is that we do to get it or to access it or to download it, and some of those things that keep us from experiencing it. And so Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind says, man by thinking, or woman by thinking, can bring into their experience whatsoever they desire. If they think correctly and become a living embodiment of their thoughts, this is not done by holding thoughts, but by knowing the truth. Let me read that again. Man by thinking can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires, if he thinks correctly and becomes a living embodiment of his thoughts. This is not done by holding thoughts, but by knowing the truth. That means it's not done by saying the same affirmation over and over, but by really getting it and embodying it and knowing it. And so it's really important to understand that, what it means to realize a truth, to make it real inside of yourself, or to know the truth. And so when we know something or learn something, we start by consciously understanding it. So when you were in elementary school, you learned math facts. You learned that 2 plus 2 is 4 and 4 plus 4 is 8. So getting it, we consciously understand that when we learn a concept like that. And so we learn spiritual principles in here by taking classes and by listening to talks and by reading books of people that have really gotten it, that helps us understand it. So we get that 2 plus 2 is 4 by learning about it. We learn that glass is neither a liquid or a solid, but it is somewhere in between the two, and we get that on an intellectual level. We get on an intellectual level that we are part of that one, because there's only one. But the thing is, the law acts on our embodied beliefs. The law acts on our subconscious beliefs, what we've really come to know and understand and really get on all levels. And so you might believe in your mind, in your head, that you are one with life, or that you live in that mind, or that there is only one. But is it really inside of your body and part of your being? Do you really get it? And so Ernest Holmes also says in the Science of Mind textbook, our belief sets the limit of our demonstration of a principle which of itself is without limit. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. So it is not a question of its willingness, nor of its ability. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity. And our receptivity is really based in and grounded in what we really believe. Not what we give lip service to, but what we really get. And so what we need to get is that field of pure potentiality, that infinite one is present, is real, is active, is here, is now, is the life that we're living. We need to get that. And so, like I said, we learn first. So we learn that 2 + 2 = 4. And say, then you have a set of twins, and you get what 2 is. It's not until you have a second set of twins that you go, wow, this is no longer 2. I get what 4 is. Except in this case, it might actually seem more like 6 than 4 when you bring those other 2 in. So we understand when we experience it. You understand as a kid when you want to buy something, and it costs $4 and you only have 2. You can't buy it until you get 2 more. And so you have to earn those 2 more dollars, and then you really get what 4 is. You really understand that glass is not a liquid or a solid when you go to an old house and you see the wavy glass. And then you go, oh, I get it now. You really get that water is a gas or a liquid or a solid when we steam vegetables and pretty soon the pot has steamed dry and there's no more water in there, we get it turned into a gas. Or we make ice cubes, we get that it turned into a solid when we experience it. And so in order to really get that we are one with that infinite one, with that infinite presence, with the allness of the universe, we have to realize it like that. We have to realize it in our subjectivity. And so one of the ways that we do that is by meditating. Because in our meditation, we get an experience of expansiveness. We get an experience of boundaries dissolving. We get a felt sense of oneness, that we are part of the whole. And when we are in meditation, we have what are called gap experiences. That's what Deepak Chopra calls them, gap experiences, where we have gaps between our thoughts, gaps between each thought or between each feeling. And it's in that gap that we access the infinite. That's where we feel it. That's where we come to know it. That's where the power of creating lies. Deepak Chopra says that is where you put your intentions, in the gap there where you speak them. And so I know for myself, in those gaps, in that meditation, is where expansive thinking comes, where new ideas come in, where insights and revelations happen. And so one of my favorite gap stories is a story about Thomas Edison. And so it is apparently told that he was not a good sleeper. And his wife was very concerned because he didn't get enough sleep. So in his laboratory, she put a couch in there so he could take naps during the day. Well, you might know and notice in your own life, one of those gap experiences where we get new insights is right before you fall asleep. There's a space between being awake and being asleep. And I know for myself, many times I have new ways to present ideas in talks, new ways to say things. New things come through in that gap right there. And so Thomas Edison made the habit of when he would lay down to take a nap, he would hold a very heavy bolt in his hand. And so the instant that he fell asleep, the bolt would fall out of his hand and hit the ground and wake him up. The whole idea of the phonograph came to him in one idea in between being awake and asleep in that gap. The whole thing complete. Not I need to do this first, this second, this. The whole thing complete in that gap. So that's where we access that infinite potentiality. That's where we access the wisdom, the intelligence, the order of the universe in those gap experiences. And then a little bit closer to home is, I'm sure most of you remember Barbara Zunich, who moved to Arizona recently. So at our last Tazay service that we had here, which was a service of music and meditation, the whole service is that, she says to me, I hate meditating. I almost didn't come here today because I just hate it. And so she came to the service, and she sat and meditated. And so afterwards, I asked her how it was. And she says, well, it was okay. You know, a lot of the time, my mind was wandering. But sometimes, I was able to bring myself back and just really be there. She goes, but you know, it was so amazing. She'd been having a problem with some person in her life. And one of the things that happened to her in that meditation was it came to her how to resolve that. It came to her the new way to approach it and the new thing to say. That's what happens in the space between our thinking. And so we prove to ourselves that we live in that field of pure potentiality, in that wisdom, in that intelligence, that it's available and present when we practice having gap experiences, like by meditating. But we have to give ourselves the opportunity in order to experience that so that it becomes real to us. You know, I have heard that 90% of the thoughts that we have, we've already had before. We repetitively think over and over and over the same thing. Meditating gives us space for something new to come in that we haven't already thought before. So giving ourselves time then, giving ourselves time to meditate or to just be in the silence, that means sitting in your living room, just sitting with no TV, no radio, no book, no game, just being in the silence. Or spending time in nature, just giving yourself time to be gives you the space, gives you the time and the space to discover something new, gives you the time and the space to discover that you are more than just this human, limited mind that repetitively goes over the same thing over and over. Gives you space to realize that you are more than just this isolated, distinct individual, but there's connection with the whole. When we set our intention to recognize that we live in that, when you set the intention to feel it or to know it or to experience it, that's what will happen. And so Deepak Chopra says in his book, the more tuned in you are to the mind of nature, the more you have access to its infinite, unbounded creativity. But first, you have to go beyond the turbulence of your inner dialogue to connect with the abundant, affluent, infinite creative mind. You have to get beyond the turbulence of your thinking. Does anyone have turbulent thinking in here? Oh, my gosh. Do you ever stop? It's like the hamster wheel never stops unless you really give yourself time to stop. And so we experience those gaps and that expansion in our thinking by meditating, by tapping into that in our meditation, by being in nature. We experience that. But we don't experience it when we are busy rushing around doing like we do all the time, or watching TV, or playing a game on your iPad or your phone, or judging or naming everything. Because when your mind is so busy, nothing new can get in. When we're judging something, when we've already judged it, there's no possibility of it being anything else besides what we've judged it, what we've named it. It removes us or puts a wall up between us and the possibilities of anything else happening or us perceiving anything else or experiencing anything else. We've put the wall up by that judgment, by that naming. And our thinking and those activities of TV and radio and all that we do is so loud that we can't hear those insights that come through. They can't get in. It's kind of like having a teacup that's already filled to the brim. You can't pour any more tea into that teacup. Nothing else can get in because your mind is already so busy with what you're doing. And so spiritual mind treatment, the affirmative prayer that we use here, is one of the ways that we get our minds to slow down. One of the ways that we get our mind to focus on what it is that we want. Spiritual mind treatment lifts us out of our everyday thinking and opens us up. It enables us to convince ourselves of the truth, because as we do it more and more, we start to feel that these words are the truth. And so we begin to embody that truth. Remember, that's what the law acts on, is our embodied thoughts and beliefs. So affirmations also, over time, do the same thing. They filter down into your subconscious mind so that they become real to you if you believe them. If you use an affirmation that says something like, I am a millionaire now, every time you say it, you go, no, I'm not. But if you use an affirmation that you can believe that says something like, I live in an infinite universe and all of my needs are met, that is maybe something you can buy into. That's something you can say it and something in your body goes, oh, that feels good and it feels right and I can feel it. So affirmations filter down and become subconscious beliefs if you buy into them. So you have to start with what you buy into and from there continue to expand those affirmations. Spending time in nature enables us to slow down. It enables us to change our vibration to be slower, to go with the vibration of nature, to match it. Being in nature reminds us of that boundless creativity. When we see the myriad of trees and leaf shapes and different kinds of flowers and the different insects and butterflies, our mind becomes, wow, look at this creativity. It's infinite creativity. It's boundless creativity. Wow, that makes me believe there are a lot more possibilities than the ones I've already been holding. Possibilities are boundless if that creativity is boundless. So it helps us open up and believe in infinite possibilities. And so my last quote for you out of The Science of Mind says, Ernest Holmes says, try to sense the infinite life around you and within you. This life is already fully expressed and complete. This life is your life now and the life of all you do, say, and think. Meditate upon this life until your whole being flows into it and becomes one with it. Spending time in nature is, without even trying, meditating on it. It allows us to embody it and to feel it. We don't even have to try when we spend time in nature. It's just the automatic thing that happens. And so my invitation to you this week then is to do whatever it is that you need to do to access that field of pure potentiality, to access that infinite potential of the universe that is always present right where you are, and that is always present within you because you are one and the same essence as that. That's what you're made of. Spend time in meditation, in silence. Read inspired writings of people that have already realized that there's only one, because that too stirs something inside of us that goes, oh, I know that in here. I just didn't have words for it before. Do spiritual mind treatment. Do any of those practices until that becomes palpable and it becomes real for you and it becomes embodied for you, not just an idea in your head. Then you will have embodied the reality and the realization of that infinite one. you will have embodied the fact that you live in that presence and that that presence lives in you. Then you'll be a conduit for the good that you desire to flow from that realm of unformed substance into your life as the specific good that you're desiring. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of stepping into your greatest yet to be and stepping into your greatest life and being here as the presence on this planet. Blessings to each one of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment, our form of affirmative prayer. And so right now we turn within and we turn to that infinite realm that lives within us and that lives all around us. And so I recognize in that turning in that tuning in, that yes, here is the call of the divine within my own heart and soul, calling me home to know it as myself and as my life and as the one thing, the one reality that permeates everything. And so I do indeed recognize that infinite one that is right here, that source from which all things have come in this entire universe, and that one that maintains and sustains all. And so I recognize that God is not finished, that God is forever pouring itself forth, that God is forever unfolding itself as this manifest universe, as every plant and every animal, as every creative idea that springs forth into the mind of human beings, as the potential and the good that is ever flowing into my life, as friends and opportunities, as peace of mind and peace of heart, as creative ideas of how to solve the challenges in my life, that that presence goes with me and goes before me in everything that I do, that I walk in this presence, and that this presence goes before me and makes the way plain and smooth and easy. And so I recognize that out of this infinite source flows all good things. And so right now, each and every single one of us is continuing to receive those blessings, that God is pouring out a blessing into our lives right now as the exact thing that our heart has been desiring. And that that presence right now is pouring itself out as peace and as love and as wholeness of body and mind, as harmony in our life and in our affairs, as guidance and direction and knowing and clarity and wisdom and blessings that I cannot even name. And so it is with a grateful heart that I say thank you, God, for all of this and so much more. And so I recognize that this is not just the truth about each one of us in this room, but that this presence is unfolding itself everywhere on this planet right now, that it is present in every home and in every heart, in every mind, in every place of business, in every political office, in every politician, in every decision maker, everywhere present, this one is unfolding itself as wisdom, as guidance, as love, as unity, as creating a world that works for everyone. For I know that the divine always supports its own creation. And so it is with that that I say, I am so grateful, so very grateful for knowing this truth, for living this life, for living in this presence, and for recognizing it. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is done as it is spoken, it is done as it is believed, and so I rest in faith and trust and confidence and knowing that this is the truth. And so I claim it, and I own it, and I embody it, and I am it. And I say, thank you, God, and so it is.